Okay, so today is March 24th, 2014. So we can start with just one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so this is the new course in reading Pali. And I believe we are in lesson 3, and we were doing the initial readings. And so we're in the last section of the initial readings. This should be page 30. See that there was one sentence that was missing from the Pali, so let me get the electronic version. Okay. So we're on page 30 now, and I think that they should have had one sentence which they seem to have missed out on. So I'm going to add that sentence from the electronic version. So it says, see if you can just follow me by ear. Akosalang bhikkhave.
Akosalang bhikkhave.
Pajahata. You can see it on. You can see it on the wall. You can see it on the wall. Sakha bhikkhave.
Sakha bhikkhave.
Akosalang pajahitum.
Akosalang pajahitum.
Okay, so here the Buddha is addressing the monks, and he says, I'm going to share the screen with these people. Okay, so the Buddha is speaking to the monks, so he says, O monks, speak of a. Then comes Pajahata. Pajahata is what? It's a verb. What grammatical form of the verb can you identify?
Imperative.
Say it.
Imperative.
Right.
Third person, plural.
How many persons?
Third.
No. It's the imperative, but the
second.
Right. The Buddha is speaking to the monks, so he's saying, you abandon. The verb pajahati means to abandon. And please, the people who are on Uvu, turn off or mute your microphones so that we don't get the feedback. Okay, so...
Okay, are you on page 30?
Yeah, page 30. But this sentence is not in that... As I said, they missed out that sentence. But you should be able.
Okay, thank you.
I shared the screen with you, so you should see it on the screen. Do you see it? Anyway, it's just the opposite of the first sentence of the next paragraph. Okay, so Pajahata is second person plural imperative. So the Buddha is addressing the monks, he's saying, you abandon, then abandon what? Akosalang. And what case is akosalang?
Accusative.
Right, it's accusative because it's the object. So he says, O monks, you abandon the unwholesome. Then comes Sakka. Sakka is a funny kind of verb. It seems to be equivalent to English just saying, it is possible. It's possible. So I don't know within the conjugation system how it fits in. It seems almost to be like undeclinable, indeclinable. But it's a verb, it's possible. Then sakka, to my knowledge, always goes with the infinitive. And so we have pajahitung. It's possible to abandon akusalang, the unwholesome. Okay, so the missing two sentences say, O monks, you abandon the unwholesome. It is possible, O monks, to abandon the unwholesome. Okay, then we come to, again, you repeat after me, Yasma Chako Bhikave.
Yasma Chako Bhikave.
Sukha akusalang pajahitung.
Sukha akusalang pajahitung.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Akusalang bhikkhave.
Akusalang bhikkhave.
Pajahata.
Pajahata.
Okay, so here we have yasma. Yasma means because, and you'll notice that we, well, first, okay, let's say yasma because, or since, then we have the same thing, sakka akusalang pajahitung, because it is possible to abandon the unwholesome. The chako is just like a connective, and so, and because it is possible to abandon the unwholesome. Now we come to tasmahang. What is tasmahang? Anybody look up tasmahang in the dictionary?
Therefore.
Therefore?
Therefore.
And why does it have tasma hung?
For I.
Excuse me?
For I.
Yeah, this is called a sandhi. That means it's a joining of two words. It's actually tasma plus ahung, therefore plus I. But when these two A's meet, then you can join the two words. So sometimes it will be represented in some printed books by putting a an apostrophe there to indicate that there's been a merging of two words. And notice that we have yasma and tasma. So in English, we don't usually have because such and such, therefore. We just say because of this, then such and such follows. But Pali and Chinese is like this too. Yin wei, so, so, so.
Soi.
Soi. So you always have yin wei and soi. Because, therefore. And so the Buddha is saying here, starting with chako, and because it is possible to abandon the unwholesome, therefore I then vadami say evang thus, therefore I speak thus. Then this is the same sentence. Bhikkhus, the monks, abandon the unwholesome. Okay, then any questions about this so far? Stephen?
I always get confused by the chakko piece.
Yeah.
Like, and indeed. But that doesn't really render literally.
Yeah, sometimes they're almost usually cha is and, But sometimes in this position, it just serves, I call this a connective. It just seems to indicate the connection of this sentence with what the sentence that came previously, just sort of smooths the flow of sentences. So in, you know,
What does call mean?
It doesn't really have a very translatable meaning.
It says in the book it's precisely or as for.
Yeah, but it doesn't really work so well in translation. Yeah. Often we just skip it as untranslatable. But it just gives a little flavor to the sentence, indicating that it's in some way, you know, flowing on from a previous sentence. But in English, we don't have to use special words to indicate that. Okay, so now then we continue. Akosalan cha hidang bhikave.
Akosalan cha hidang bhikave.
Bahinang.
Bahinang.
Ahitaya dukaya sangvateya.
Ahitaya.
Nahang evang videyang.
Nahang evang videyang.
Akosalang bhikkhave pajahata.
Akosalang bhikkhave pajahata.
Okay, now the Buddha is setting up what is called a hypothetical or a conditional, which involves using the optative. You could see sangvateya and videyung. Those are two optative forms, should or would. And so he's saying that it seems to me that it would have been better, instead of having a cha here, to have che. Che means more definitely if. Let's just read it with che. So if, O monks, then hidang is he plus idang. And idang goes with akusalang. So let me just do a straight translation, then explain it. So he's saying, if, O monks, actually the he gives the sense of, in English we might render this with the word for if, O monks, this unwholesome, abandoned, then sangvateya would lead, then ahitaya or ahita means harm. It's the opposite of hita. The word hita means benefit or well-being. So ahita is harm, and of course dukkha we know is suffering. And what case is this?
Dative.
Exactly. And dative, how much, what is the number?
Singular.
Right, it's dative singular. So sangvateya means to lead, and to lead goes with its object in the dative case. In this case, would lead to harm and to suffering. So he's saying, O monks, for if this unwholesome, then we have to understand the sense, when abandoned, would lead to harm and suffering. It sounds a little bit odd, you know, translated literally in English. If we were to put it into smoother English, we would say something like, for if the abandoning of the unwholesome would lead to harm and suffering. But the way it's expressed in Pali, you know, translated very literally, it's would go like this. For if this unwholesome, when abandoned, would lead to harm and to suffering. Then comes Nahung Evang Videya. And if you look in the dictionary, you won't find Nahung there. Why not?
Sunday.
Right, it's a Sunday. It's a Sunday of the negation. Na plus Ahung. It's na plus ahung, but now they're joining together, and so they become nahung. So it's not, the na goes with the verb, and ahung, of course, is the pronoun, I. So I would not speak thus, avang is thus. I would not say thus. Then he repeats the original sentence. O monks, abandon the unwholesome. So putting it all together, starting from taking the whole sentence. For if, O monks, this unwholesome being abandoned would lead to harm and to suffering, I would not say thus, O monks, abandon the unwholesome. And then we come to another yasma tasma construction. Okay. Yasma chako bhikkhave. Okay, you repeat. Yasma chako bhikkhave. Akusalang pahinang.
Akusalang pahinang.
Hitaya sukaya sangvatati.
Hitaya sukaya sangvatati.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Akusalang bhikkhave pajahata.
Akusalang bhikkhave pajahata.
Okay, so here if we start with the ch, and then because, O monks, the unwholesome, I would put it being abandoned, though it's actually a past participle. The unwholesome being abandoned, then sangvatati leads hitaya sukaya to well-being and to happiness. Therefore, I speak thus, O monks, abandon the unwholesome. Again, and because, O monks, the unwholesome being abandoned leads to well-being and happiness, therefore I say thus, O monks, abandon the unwholesome. Any questions about this? You see, very set up very, very logically. First is what you call the affirmative proposition. Then a hypothetical conditional, which is, of course, rejected. And then a statement of the actual true conditional relationship, and then based on that, the positive affirmation. Any questions? Okay, the next paragraph is just sort of the opposite side of this. So here we say, Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Sukha bhikkhave.
Sukha bhikkhave.
Kusalang bhavetum.
Kusalang bhavetum.
So here, kusalang is the wholesome or the good. And then the verb bhaveti means to develop or to cultivate. In Chinese, xiu shi or xiu xing. Yeah. What? Xiu xing. Yes, xiu. Okay, so this is develop. So he's saying, oh monks. So the verb bhaveti means to, I said, to develop, to cultivate. Oh monks, develop the wholesome. Then it is possible, O monks, to develop the wholesome. And then, yasma chako bhikkhave.
Yasma chako bhikkhave.
Sakha kusalang bhavetum.
Sakha kusalang bhavetum.
Tasmaham evang vadami.
Tasmaham evang vadami.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Okay, so now he's saying, we'll start with the cha, and then yasma, because, O monks, it is possible to develop the wholesome, therefore I say thus, O monks, develop the wholesome. Let me turn this into a che. Kusalang che hidang bhikkhave.
Kusalang che hidang bhikkhave.
Bhavitang.
Bhavitang.
Ahitaya dukaya sangvateya. Nahang evang vadeyam.
Nahang evang vadeyam.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Okay, so now he's saying, he's setting up this hypothetical conditional. So he's saying, for, that's the he is for, then che, if idang, this wholesome. Now, I should explain, like normally, like in normal syntax, you would say idang kusalang. And in the previous paragraph would be idang akusalang. But this is what you might call like an elegant variation to give like a little more stress to the words akusalang and kusalang by putting the noun before the pronoun. But we should know that idang is going with kusalang. So for if, in English, we have to say this wholesome. If you say for if wholesome this, it would sound like nonsense. Okay, so for if this wholesome, O monks, being developed would lead to harm and to suffering, then nahung, I would not, vadeyung, say evang thus, develop, O monks, the wholesome. Okay. For, again, for if, O monks, this wholesome, when developed, would lead to harm and to suffering, I would not say thus, develop, O monks, the wholesome. And then comes the conclusion. Yasma chakobi kave.
Yasma chakobi kave.
Kusalang bhavitang.
Kusalang bhavitang.
Hitaya sukaya sangvatati.
Hitaya sukaya sangvatati.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Tasmahang evang vadami.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Kusalang bhikkhave bhaveta.
Okay, starting with the ch. Okay, and because, O monks, the wholesome being developed or when developed leads to well-being and to happiness, therefore I say thus, develop, O monks, the wholesome. Any questions now? Anything unclear?
I just have a question. Why do we use both Tasmahang, which is therefore, and Evang is thus?
Speak the question again. I didn't quite catch it.
Tasmahang was used next to Evang, and Tasmahang is therefore.
Yeah.
And Evan is done.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They have somewhat different functions. They're not exactly the same. Tasma is really drawing a logical conclusion, whereas Evang here indicates something like in this way, in such a way. So therefore, I speak in such a way. Do you see the point?
Yeah, it looks quite close, so that's why I was a little bit confused.
Yeah, there might be some overlap at times, but generally, Evang seems to have like a very broad usage.
Okay.
Usually meaning something like, in such a manner. Whereas Tasma, therefore, is usually drawing a conclusion, used to introduce a conclusion drawn from a previous fact.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, I think this is the last, this was the last selection in the initial readings. So now let's go to the what's called the further readings. Okay, so this is a continuation. We had the earlier part of this sutta in the initial readings. Now he is continuing with the positive side of it in the further readings. Okay, so I'll speak each sentence and then you recite after me. Tung King Manyata Salha.
Tung King Manyata Salha.
Ati Alobo.
Ati Alobo.
And he says, Evang Bhante.
Evang Bhante.
Okay, so this preliminary part is asking some, it's always used in the text to ask somebody what they think about something. So the king is what? And then Manyata is, do you think? And then tongue would be something like, about that. What do you think about that? Well, what do you think about this, we would say. And now this is a bit interesting. You see, he's addressing one person by name, Salha. But look at the ending here. Yeah. It's a plural. I just noticed this, actually. It's a plural ending. I don't think I pointed this out in the previous section because it just occurred to me. And notice the manyata. What number is that? It's a plural. So it seems, this is what I imagine to be the case, that this person named Salha must have been like the leader of a group of young men who have come to the Buddha to ask about some issues. And so the Buddha is addressing all of them, but he's using the name of the leader of the group.
I don't know where I read it, because I read 2 weeks ago when I did go ahead with this and looked at it, and I found some place, so I don't know where at this moment, but they said you will often see in the translations, we'll see one person's name,
yeah,
see it in the plural, you know, just as you said,
yeah,
but it's indicating there was a group of people.
Yeah.
So they said when you see the plural, you know that there were a group,
yeah,
around the,
yeah,
Buddha.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it, yeah, this
but
indicates that there is a group of people.
The leader or somebody who asked,
yeah,
the question. I don't remember where I saw that.
I don't know whether they pointed this out in the.
Yeah, I found it someplace.
Someplace, okay. Okay, so he's asking, what do you think about this? And then he's speaking to a group of people with Salha, the young man. Salha is the spokesman for the group. Ati Lobo. Ati Alobo. So this is a question. Is there non-greed? Probably, is there such a thing as non-greed, as the absence of greed? And this is another use of the word avang that Kim brought up just a minute ago. Sometimes avang functions like the word yes in English. It's a polite form of yes. So he's saying, yes, Bhante. Okay, and then the Buddha says, anabij, and then you repeat after me, anabija tiko ahang salha.
Anabija tiko ahang salha.
Etamattang vadami.
Etamattang vadami.
So he's saying, we'll start with the ahang, I. Then the verb vadami, I say, etam attang, that literally it's I say this meaning, but I would render it as I would say, or I say the meaning of this is, and anabija. Anabija means something like non-craving. Some use, in fact, I've used non-covetousness, but that sounds a rather bookish word. Maybe you could say non-longing. We don't have other good words for craving. Longing is not bad. Hankering. Whatever you prefer. Okay, so he's saying, I say, O Salha, the meaning of this is, and then it's like in quotation marks, non-hankering. And then he continues, Aludo ko ayang salha. You repeat, Aludo ko ayang salha. Anabijalu.
Anabijalu.
Neva panang hanati.
Neva panang hanati.
Na adinang a deity.
Na adinang a deity.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na musa banati.
Na musa banati.
Parampi.
Parampi.
Na tatataya samadapeti.
Na tatataya samadapeti.
Yangsa hoti.
Yangsa hoti.
Digaratang. Hitaya sukaya.
Hitaya sukaya.
And evang bante.
Evang bante.
Okay, so actually the subject here is indicated by the word ayang, which means it's a pronoun meaning this one, in other words, this person. And then the person is described as Ludo. Now, Luda is related to the word loba. Loba is the noun meaning greed. And Luda is one who is greedy. Yeah, it's just like the relationship in English between greed and greedy. But this is the negative. So above we have alobo, non-greed. And so here we have aludo, non-greedy. So this person, this one who is non-greedy, then unabijalu, this is the personal noun or personal adjective based on unabija. So unabija means non-longing or non-hankering. And unabijalu means one without hankering, one without this without craving. And so he's saying, so this person who is not greedy, who is without hankering, then neva panang hanati. So neva is, what is neva? Yeah, it's na plus eva. And the eva here, sometimes eva takes on that emphatic meaning of indeed, but often when there's a chain of negations, the eva is connected to the first one. It doesn't really have a translatable meaning. Or maybe it's a little bit analogous to, in English, instead of saying not this, not that, we will say neither this nor that. So the eva here is just indicating that we're going to have a series of negatives. So this person without greed, without craving, does not, then hanati means to, one of the meanings, to kill. Sometimes it means to kill, sometimes to injure. But here I think the intention is to kill. So he does not kill a pana. Originally the word pana means breathing, like an anapanasati. But then things that breathe are things that have life, and so pana comes to mean a living being. So the person without craving doesn't kill a living being. Then na adinang adiyati, he does not take what is not given. In other words, he does not steal. Na paradarang gachati, this is, he does not go to, para means another, somebody else, and dara means wife. Again, you know, the old Indian texts are, I have to say, a little apologetically, but they're formulated from the standpoint of the male. But, you know, we could transpose it into our own culture. He does not go to the another's partner. He or she does not go to another's partner. Then, na musa banati. He does not speak falsely. I think I pointed out last time, musa is actually a adverb, meaning falsely. And then parampi na tatataya samadapeti. So here we have, again, it's negation. No, he does not. Samadapeti means to cause somebody else to engage in an action. We can say he doesn't order anybody else to do this, or he does not encourage. And then we have param, another person, too. And then tatataya is an abstract form which could be rendered something like to such behavior, we could say, or to such a condition. It's based on the word tata, which also means thus or such. And then what it's done is to add tatata would be such a state, such a condition, or here we would say to such behavior. But then what case does this become with aya? Good. That was Kim. She said the dative. It's the dative case. So he does not encourage or urge. Yeah, he does not urge another person to such behavior. And then we have yang sa, which their note explains as yang plus asa. So the yang is a pronoun meaning which, referring, I guess, to all of these actions that he's avoiding. And then asa is the dative, or actually the genitive, I think genitive here, of him. Hoti is, then digaratang, I think I've explained this already. Literally, it means long night. And so the Chinese translators, into Chinese use, is it chang yia? Is that right? Chang yia. Chang yia. But that's being too literal. In Pali, it just becomes an idiom meaning a long time. Mm-hmm. In singular, do they have that expression in colloquial singular?
Time.
For time?
Yeah. Dirghakala.
Dirghakala. But that's like English, a long time. Mm-hmm. So they don't use the night, the long night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not that it lasts for one long night, mm-hmm. but means really a long time. Then hitaya and sukaya means, of course, for well-being and for happiness. And so, anybody want to put it all together? Try putting this all together. From aludo ko ayang to sukaya. I'm a bit overwhelmed by the competition. Don't worry. I'm not holding a Colt 45. There are no...
Something may answer?
Yeah, no report cards to be sent home to your mother and father. Yeah, please, Venerable Satchinanda.
A non-greedy person, Salaha, who is non-longing, does not kill living being.
Yeah.
Does not take what is not given.
Yeah.
Does not commit adultery.
Yeah.
Does not speak falsely.
Right.
Does not encourage other to such behavior.
Okay, good, yeah.
Which for him lead for well-being and happiness for a long time.
Okay, very, very good. Very, very good. So I'll just repeat this for the recording. So he's saying that this person who is not greedy, who is without longing or covetousness, does not kill a living being, does not take what is not given. He said he does not commit adultery, which would be the way we would could translate that. He does not speak falsely, and he does not encourage others to such behavior or such a condition. And so this will be for his well-being and happiness for a long time. That is because he is abstaining from or refraining from those unwholesome, immoral actions. So this is going to lead to his well-being and happiness for a long time. And then the Salha says, Evang Bhante, yes, Venerable. Okay, the next one, again I'll recite and then pause and then you repeat. Tung King Manyata Salha. Oh, before we go on, I should ask whether there's any questions on this paragraph. Okay, Suki.
Three questions.
Three questions. Okay, good.
Tung King Manyata. Tung, you translated about?
No. I think about is sort of built in. You know, there's no word corresponding to that in the Pali. But maybe the about is sort of built into the tongue, but tongue is more like this or that.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think, that's King
about.
Manyata's, what do you think, tongue, about that?
The second one, Aludoko Ayang, here the subject is Ayang, right?
Right.
Then we Aludo as an adjective instead of a noun.
You know, the boundary between adjective and noun in Pali, it's somewhat more vaguer than in English. So aludo could be either non-greedy as an adjective, or you could take ayang aludo together as this non-greedy person. Yeah, so you could say either ayang this one, who is non-greedy, or this non-greedy person. Okay.
The last one is about Yangsa.
Yeah.
Yang Asa, is it A-S-A or A-S-S-A?
This is the A-S-S-A. This is, I think we've had this form. It's the genitive base on the pronoun ayang. Ayang, let me see if they have it, if we came across this already in the book. Yeah. I'm not sure that they've given the full declension of it, but on page 21, they introduce, or they have short tables for the pronoun ayang, then they just give the accusative imang, then neuter idang, feminine ayang, imang, then plural ime, imani, ima, imayo. So usa is the genitive singular for that.
Then when it became condensed, why is it not yang SSA, but just SA?
I don't know. I just guess in the way of speaking, one just doesn't have a way to pronounce the two S's. Yangsa. I guess rather than say Yangsa. It's just the way things can develop in speech. Okay, so let's, any other questions? Okay, so let's move on to the next paragraph. Tung King Manyata Salha.
Tung King Manyata
Salha. Ati Adoso.
Ati Adoso.
Evang Bante.
Evang Bante.
Ubya Pado Tiko Ahang Salha. Etamattang vadami.
Etamattang vadami.
Okay, let's do the translation. Okay, so now Buddha is asking him, or asking them, again, what do you think about this, Salha? Is there non-hatred? And so they say, yes, Bhante. And then he says, I say, O Salha, that its meaning is abhyapada, that means non-ill will, absence of ill will, absence of, what would be another good word? Aversion, absence of resentment. But we'll stay with non-ill will. Okay. So I say that the meaning of this, O Salha, is non-ill will. Then we have adutto ko ayang Salha. You repeat, adutto ko ayang Salha. Abhya panachito. Then neva panang hanati.
Neva panang hanati.
Na adinang adiyati.
Na adinang adiyati.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na musa banati.
Na musa banati.
Parampi,
parampi,
na tata taya,
na tata taya,
samadapeti,
samadapeti.
I think we should have this one. Yangsa hoti,
yangsa hoti,
digaratang hitaya sukaya,
digaratang hitaya sukaya.
Then evang bante. Okay, so now again the subject here is ayang, this one or he, but now the description is different from the previous paragraph. This is adutto. Now we know that the word for hatred is dosa, and so a person who has hatred is called dutto. You could say a hating one, a hateful one. And so a person without hatred is udutto, a non-hating one. Or we could make ayang the subject. This one who is without hate, then ubyapana chito. This one means one whose mind is without ill will. Byapana Byapana is the adjective going with byapada. Byapada is ill will. Byapana, in English, we don't have a good way to say that.
Malevolence?
Yeah, one has to use another word. Like malevolent. But we could just understand from the form that it, you could see that it's based on byapada. So this one who is without hate, or this one who is not hating, who is non-malevolent,
benevolent.
Even you could use, I would prefer to use a more positive, who is benevolent. So this person who is, even you could say, who is gentle, or who is kind, benevolent. Then we have the whole series of terms we already came across, that he doesn't kill a living being and so forth, and he doesn't encourage others in such behavior, which is for his, well, it, good English we would say, which leads to his well-being and happiness for a long time.
So it implies out of hatred he will not kill another being. Out of hatred he will not...
Yeah. The other one is out of, or actually from the, because of the absence of hatred, he won't kill a living being. Okay, so this paragraph, I mean, everything is pretty much parallel to the previous one, only a variation in a few words. Okay, let's go on. Any questions particular to this paragraph? Okay, then we'll go on to the third paragraph. You can see that these are questions about the three wholesome roots. So he says, Tang King Manyata Salha.
Tang King Manyata
Salha. Ati Amoho.
Ati Amoho.
And then he says, Evang Bhante.
Evang Bhante.
And so now he's... the Buddha is asking, what do you think about that, Salha? Is there non-delusion? And then Salha says, yes, Venerable. Then the Buddha says, again repeat after me, Vijatiko Ahang Salha.
Vijatiko Ahang Salha.
Etamatang Vadami.
Etamatang Vadami.
So he's saying, I say, O Salha, this meaning, I would put it a little freely, I say, O Salha, the meaning of this is vija. Vija means accurate knowledge. So when the texts speak negatively of non-delusion, positively, you could say it's vija, knowledge. And then vija is also the same as jnana, which is knowledge, or panya, wisdom. Okay, then it continues. Amulho kai alang salha.
Amulho kai alang salha.
Vijagato.
Vijagato.
Neva panang hanati.
Neva panang hanati.
Na adinang adiyati.
Na adinang adiyati.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na paradarang gachati.
Na musa banati. Parampi na tatataya samadapeti yangsa hoti digaratang hitaya sukaya. And then he replies, Evang Bhante. Okay, so again, this sentence is parallel to the previous one, except that the description of the person, it's that is all that changes. Okay, so we have the noun moha, which means delusion. Then based on delusion, we would have the adjective mulha. Mulha would mean deluded, or even you could say foolish. So moha, delusion or foolishness, and mulha, deluded, a deluded person, a foolish person. And now this is the negation of these qualities. So amoha, which is equivalent to vija, accurate knowledge. And the adjective is amulha, undiluted, somebody who's not foolish. And this person is also described as vijagato. So vija, we already know, is accurate knowledge. And gato here is literally, well, it's originally, that's the past participle of to go, but it now functions as gone to. So it would be literally gone to knowledge, but we don't want to be too literal. So we would say knowledgeable. So a person who is undiluted, knowledgeable, or even, you could say even wise. So a person who is not undiluted, who is wise, doesn't kill a living being and so forth, doesn't encourage others in such behavior, and then which is for his well-being and happiness for a long time. And then the young man, or the group of young men, say, yes, Bhante. Let's take a little break, okay? So it's 11 after 2. So we'll start again at 2:20. What? No. 9 minutes.
9 minutes.